Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
It's getting near dawn.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Joan Pride is with us. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, folks, I'd like to tell you about the website at Kiplinger. It's kiplinger.com. And, of course, also their publications. Joan, you guys have the Kiplinger Letter, which is what we work off of every week. That's the weekly flagship, 86-plus years old. And then, of course, you've got the three biweekly letters, right? The tax letter.
My favorite.
Yep, the tax letter, the agriculture letter, and the biofuels letter. Mm-hmm. Which I'm still trying to get them to change to alternative fuels, and then of course they don't listen much over there though, Joan, when I speak, and also then that magazine thing.
Right, it's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And it's been around for a long time, and you can get that at newsstands. Also, at the website you can subscribe. And what's that phone number, Joan?
Our toll free number is 800-544-0155.
And of course, my website, folks, smallbusinessadvocate.com. You can find all the things that Joan does with us right there on our website. And don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter, which we'll send you every week. Joan, over on page 2, in the middle of the page, the Dubai debt woes. We know that Dubai basically, which, by the way, folks, if you don't know, there are states that were carved off a few decades ago from the Arab, from Saudi Arabia, basically, I guess, United Arab Emirates. It's a group of city-states. Abu Dhabi, Dubai, and Sharjah are the three main ones. I think there are some others. But Dubai is the one that's claimed this to be this great miracle. Well, they did it all. All this development they did over there was on credit. It was all borrowed money because they don't really have any oil.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is in the Arabian Gulf. Near, not that far from the Straits of Hormuz.
They don't have any oil?
I don't think they really have very much oil. Abu Dhabi has oil. I don't think Sharjah. Dubai is not very big, Joan. It's a city state.
So I wonder what their collateral was for all this debt.
That's a good question. That's a good question. and that's the reason why basically they're bankrupt right now.
Yeah.
But I've been to Dubai, and it's it was 20 years ago. There wasn't much there. But the point is their credit rating, I mean, they're basically, their financial situation has collapsed. This week I heard that Greece's credit rating was dropped to very low. Other countries, this is a concern that I have, Joan, for the global economy, is the credit worthiness of other countries.
Yeah.
And you guys point out Greece, Ireland, Portugal, even Spain and Italy could be in trouble. And Joan, Great Britain has had some, there's been some concern about Great Britain's credit worthiness. Even the U.S. has been told by the raters, by the credit raters, that if we don't get our debt more in line, that our credit worthiness could be in jeopardy.
Yeah, and that's really scary when you think about it.
It's very scary.
It depends so much on foreign debt.
That's exactly right. Let's move on down and talk about something that's very important, something I've talked quite a bit about, folks, on the show, as you know, is cloud computing. Joan, you guys reported on that this week.
Well, you know, I'm technologically challenged, and I still don't know what Twittering and all that stuff is. So cloud computing, I can just barely get my mind around. But we say that it lets small and mid-sized firms use online inventory management and also graphic design and software programs all online. So it's not in your, I guess that means it's not in your hard drive and your server and your network at the office. It's all off somewhere
in the clouds.
Wow.
Companies like IBM are spending billions of dollars on cloud computing. Joan, do you have a Gmail account with Google?
Huh? What's that?
Okay. All right. Okay. Do you ever text? Do you ever text anyone on your cell phone?
I've done that, but I have a very rudimentary cell phone. It doesn't allow me to do much.
Okay.
Of that.
Well, I've got a lot more work here than I thought, Joan, to do.
I don't have a keyboard on my cell phone. Okay.
Folks, if you have a Gmail account, if you do anything do process any information or make any kind of communication online through these public platforms. If you have a Facebook account, if you have...
What if I have a Yahoo Mail account?
Okay, that's
the
it.
Same thing?
That's cloud computing.
Okay.
All right, in its most rudimentary form. Cloud computing is where you, either for free or for a small incremental charge, have access to processing power that resides on someone else's servers, but they deliver it to you over the internet, and so therefore the transaction basically takes place in the clouds.
Well, and I was a pioneer of cloud computing without realizing it, because I've had my Yahoo account for years.
See there?
Wow.
See, and you thought you were behind. Here you are, a pioneer. The problem is, Joan, is that's as far as you ever went.
That's true.
See, so that is a problem. So
now everybody's catching up to me.
But here's an interesting thing, Joan. Over 10 years ago, I heard Bill Gates describe cloud computing before
over
anybody
10
knew.
Years ago?
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
maybe 15 years ago.
Wow.
A long time ago, way back in the 90s, 97 or 8 probably.
Mm-hmm.
I heard him describe cloud computing in another way. He didn't say cloud computing. He didn't talk about like the way we think of it now. But he described buying processing power incrementally over the internet. And even though he was the first guy I heard ever talk about it, his company, and he said this is the way we'll do business in the future, but his company then set about to not do that at all.
Yeah.
Or very little of it. And and here's the point I'm making, Joan. They got so tied into the software, buying software.
The operating system.
The operating system and buying it and owning it, actually having it on your hard drive, putting it over on your hard drive. They got so tied into that business model that they let everybody else get ahead of them, like Google and like some other companies are.
Right.
And now they're having to catch up.
Yeah.
So, folks, that's a cautionary tale for you and me. It's okay to fall in love with what you're doing. But you can't fall in love with how you do it. And that was a lesson Microsoft should have learned, and you and I can learn from that mistake that they made. Tintail, right back with Joan Pride after these messages. More to come.
Move to New York. Well, New York's fine, but it ain't
love. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. Little Robert Cray bringing us back, my favorite blues man. Joan Pride is with us. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, over on page 3, you guys report on a headache for the trucking industry. Now, this is one headache I don't mind the trucking industry having. Because you talk about a ban on texting by drivers. Joan, this is a good thing, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, now we say, to give them their due, that they're not just fooling around, that they rely on it to receive and reply to dispatchers' messages about changes in routing, pickups, and deliveries. Now, my answer to that is, well, what did they do before texting?
Well, they did it by phone or by two-way, you know, the two-way communication, you know.
Right.
The little,
I think texting, you have to look at a screen when you're texting. You can't avoid it. So that is so distracting.
Not only a screen, but a keyboard. You know, looking at a screen is fine because you can do that and drive, but then actually making a coherent sentence or an answer on a keyboard, that's something else altogether.
Yeah.
So they got to work on that a little bit. The technology, as good as it is for them, as helpful as it is for them,
well, see, we're talking about, and that was my other problem, is you're taking a hand off the wheel as well.
Right.
But we're talking about, they're working about at voice-enabled systems, which kind of get you back to the old, I guess, walkie-talkie days, so I'm not sure.
That's what I was saying a minute ago about the two-way. But Joan, you demonstrated to people.
I said walkie-talkie, I'm sorry.
No. That's even worse than that.
What?
You've revealed to people just how technologically illiterate you are.
Yeah.
Because you said take one hand off. Everybody knows that when you text, you can do it with one hand, but it's most people do it with two hands.
So how do you take two hands off the wheel?
Well, that's the problem, Joan. That's the reason why they're banning this.
Ooh.
Work with us here. You know.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you can do it with one hand, but you got to hold the phone or hold the device.
I think you'd have to use your elbows in that case.
Or your thumb or something. You can do it. But I'm it's just not easy. I actually saw this. I think I mentioned this to you before. I was in Copenhagen a couple of years ago, and as you know, most people ride bikes over there.
Yeah.
And here was this attractive young lady riding to work in her suit, in her business suit, on a bike through busy traffic. They do have traffic there, especially in the morning. And riding through the traffic with one hand on the handlebar, the other hand on her phone as she was texting. So she was good at it, but if she hit my car, I wouldn't lose that fight.
I would hope not.
But if a semi hits my car because he's texting, I'm going to lose that one.
Right.
Joan, let's move over and talk about at the bottom of page 3 there, the ratcheting up of regulations. Curb on air pollutants by power plants. The EPA has this year, and folks, Joan, as you know, there's a battle going on right now, and it's going to heat up even more. This year, the EPA designated CO2, carbon dioxide, the stuff that comes out of your lungs, ladies and gentlemen, as a dangerous gas. And Joan, this is a regulation that is that the Obama administration seems determined to follow through on if the Congress doesn't pass some kind of a cap and trade bill.
Okay, now I don't see that in this item. I mean, I agree with you.
I know,
not what we're talking about.
But
here.
You're talking, but the restrictions on pollutants, power plants. Tell us about that.
Right. The idea is to reduce emissions of mercury, arsenic, lead, and other toxic metals.
Yep.
Plus soot.
Mm-hmm.
And those rules will be finalized, I guess, 2 years from now.
Right.
So there is time to get ready, I guess.
But now they've always... this is something... Clearly, we don't want them emitting mercury, arsenic, lead, and toxic metals. They've
right.
always known they couldn't do this. I mean, this to me, that's almost kind of old news. The news to me is the CO2 thing, and all I'm pointing out, Joan, is that folks, in the next 12 months, this is going to be something you're going to hear a lot about, and it's not just going to be about power plants. It's going to be about your house and in your business.
Right.
Joan Taxis, over on page 4. Talk to us about that.
How much time do I have? Like 5 seconds?
You got 40 seconds.
Okay, here we go. Something's going to happen with the estate tax. We're not sure what yet. Probably current law will be extended another year, and current law is a 45% rate, I believe, and a $3.5 million exemption. Next year, the estate tax is scheduled to go down to zero, but they're not going to let that happen.
So you think they're not going to let it go to zero? Or that,
correct.
They're gonna change the law before, so it never will go to zero in 2010.
Right. That's right.
But it won't go up after 2010.
Exactly.
That's what you're saying. Okay.
That's good news and bad news.
Yeah, that's good news and bad news there. Yeah. So, hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you.
As always, good report.
Thanks.
Gotta go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.